Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Belgian producer and DJ Ken Colt's high-energy performances radiate with an irresistible blend of tech house and Latin house music. His songs are not mere compositions. They contain a strong message that resonates with listeners on a profound level. While reaching 50 million streams on his tracks on Spotify alone, Ken launched his own record label and publishing company Feels Like Home. Ken has played on the world's biggest festival stages such as Tomorrowland, Belgium, Tomorrow World, United States, Ultra Music Festival, South Korea, Sunburn Festival, India, Pasha Cape Town in South Africa, among many others. And he has had the honor to be the support act of David Guetta in concert and Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike's show multiple times. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Ken Colt. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thanks. Thanks for inviting me, by the way. I'm currently situated in Valencia in Spain, but I'm originally from Belgium.
Okay, lovely. Now, how did you choose your stage persona or your stage name?
Well, my name is Kenneth, like my original name. And of course, I started like back in the days, I think 16, 17 years ago as DJ Ken. Of course, many people in the world could have taken this name. And there was one guy from America who was like, oh, DJ Ken, sounds cool. I will take it as well. And I was kind of like, okay, I need to add something. So I took something from my last name, which is Klaas. And I added that, Klaas, C-L. So I added that. Found something that was Colt. So which was sounding the same as Klaas, which is with the K sound. And that's why I chose the last name.
Okay, cool. Okay, so now you've already referenced that you started around 16 years ago. So at what age did you think to yourself, I want to be in this world, creating or producing music, DJing and so forth? And how did that journey progress to where we are today?
Well, that's a good question, because in the beginning, I never thought that I want to be like music always was my biggest passion. But I never realized until I started to dive deep in the production wise, to playing with the guitar, playing with the piano. That's the point where I said, like, okay, this is really my thing. It's just like my passion. It's I not say like, okay, on my 18th birthday, I was like, okay, I want to be a DJ. No, it just flew. Like, there was one guy in my town who was DJ, and it was actually my first or my second party I actually ever went, and I knew him, and he said like, yeah. I said, it's cool what you do, but can you teach me how you do it? So like, yes, of course. And he teach me, and I start playing with the vinyls, and then the CDs, and now it's USB.
Yeah, I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month because I love the aesthetic of the holding of something, the tactileness of it. For me, it's a journey of knowing, okay, cool, this excitement of getting this specific one, unpacking it, listening to it end to end and so forth. I'm not sure if you're aware that CDs, vinyls and cassettes are even cassettes are in a massive comeback. Last year alone, vinyls in the UK, 5.9 million sales, the biggest since 1990, and CDs again are also upward trajectory. We also have these, as you mentioned, the USB and these digital platforms that people listen to music on. What are your observations of the landscape of where we are in the music world at the moment?
Well, I think, to be honest, as a DJ producer travels around the world, I don't see myself taking all my CDs and vinyls all the way along. And I played in Latin America last month. I cannot imagine that I need to put all my CDs in my case. Well, that's the main reason, I think, that for me it's like convenient to play with USB. Of course, I love vinyl. I love the texture, and like you said, like the CDs. I love to finding that one song that it maybe is on the B side that you would never expect it. That's something that that I miss with USB. Of course, you find the songs. It's not the same. You don't have the same feeling, but it's also searching online and on Beatport, and maybe you can find like, oh, maybe on the top, so you can find something in that nobody has, because that's the kind of thing, like to surprise the people at the party with songs that they think like, oh, damn, that's kind of good, but they're not expecting like this song, because it's not a top 10 Beatport track. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, it's not a charted track. It's just it's a very nice vibe.
Naturally, being a DJ, you have to be able to read the energy of the room, read the energy
Yes.
of the audience. So is that something that's always become easy to you, or has it had to have grown over time as you've become DJing at more and more events?
Well, I found it very, very natural to read the room. At a certain point, I just like that people are dancing. It's just not like just a chill vibe. Okay, you start with a chill vibe. But I've been resident DJ also in the club in Belgium for, I don't know, 10, 12 years. So for me, I've been doing like the warm up, the peak time and the closing time. So I'm very, very comfortable with reading the people. I know which stage of the night we are, which kind of vibe they need at that point. Because if they just enter, we cannot put pounding like peak time music. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I see that some kind of thing is kind of missing with new upcoming DJs, or DJs that just explode because of one track on TikTok. They don't have that craft yet.
And I suppose with them, they just sort of in it, it gets exploded on TikTok, and then they're not really used to the many millions of or thousands of people in a room. And then when it gets to them performing just then, they can lose the crowd because they're not used to that exactly what you're referencing.
Exactly, 100%.
How long into your career did you start producing and creating your own original songs? Or was that from the very beginning?
No, it was not from the very beginning. I started DJing, I think I started in 2011 or 2012, I think was the first release I also did in that year. Well, yeah, something like that, 12 years now.
12
years.
And let's unpack your creative brain. So from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes of a new original song, what is that process like for you? Is it easy every time? Is it always collaborative? Let's start unpack your creative brain.
Yes. So it's actually every time it's different. So sometimes you're in the studio and you start with like a vocal. That's how mostly like some kind of a DJ or like a singer has a top line, a vocal. Dry, and they send it over like, hey, can you do something with this? Can you make a remix? Can we make a new collaboration? And sometimes it's an easy nut to crack, and sometimes it's just like a hard nut to crack. It's just like sometimes like 1 month, 2 months, like in a studio, and you're like, man, I need to work on something different, because you cannot and unlock the code, let's put it that way. And some tracks are just made in one day, just what the whole idea in one day, and the structure is the next day, and then of course the mixing and masters afterwards. But the idea should be on the same day, I think. Yeah, then you have like a nice and great tune. That's from my experience.
And when it's a hard nut to crack, as you mentioned, has there any been times that you're like, okay, I'm just going to let this one go and leave it? Or do you
100%.
Keep... Oh, yeah. Is
100.
It?
Yes, okay. Yes. Or I put it in the freezer and just like, oh, look what this kind of song is popping up. And like, hey, shit. Okay. It's been a half year ago. So let's work on it again. So sometimes you're definitely like tired of one song. Like, that's what I had in the beginning. Like when you work on a song and it's like, of course, it's like 1 month, 2 months, like making sure that everything is like correct. You work on, you collaborate with other artists, like a singer, like a vocalist. I mean, like they all want to have their saying. There's people that the songwriters, they also want like, oh no, we need to have this different. So let's say like 1 or 2 months, and then like the clearance if you do like a cover. So when the track is finally out, you're kind of tired of the song. It's like,
yes.
that's the truth. That's just the truth. But it's, at some point you get you get the feedback you get from the fans, that's something that you can enlighten and be like, ah, yes, that's something that I did like 3 months ago, but it's still fresh and still good. So that's really nice.
And when you're collaborating with singers on a track, is it a combination of you reaching out to them, they reaching out to you, or labels coming into play? How is that process?
Well, it really depends on the situations. For example, I did a collaboration with Luciana in the past, and that happened between my manager that from Mexico. He put me in contact with Luciana, and then I made the song with Luciana. And now I was in Mexico last month, and I was on a call with my manager, and he's like with Luciana. I said like, hey, let's do another song. So, and that's how like Luciana approached, like, hey, I have this top line, so let's do another song. And yeah, so sometimes it depends on, this is just an example, of course.
Yeah.
But it's in any situation, it could be that the singer approach you, or that you approach the singer. But of course, logically, if you just start, you just need to approach people. You just need to approach a label like, hey, can I do a remix of this song? Can I, or you already prepared the remix, or can I have the stems of the song? And then that's how you want to stand out in the beginning. And then when you have this kind of relation with the label, they will probably reach out to you like, hey, Ken, you want to do this remix for this artist? Or then you can say yes or no.
Okay, so for the listeners who are unaware, what are stems?
Stems are individual parts of a song. So a stem could be like a kick, just like a kick. Come on, like very, very dry kick. A vocal, just the vocal only, it's also a stem. So every stem, you could put like tetris, like it's like putting blocks on each other, and it's, you create kind of a matrix of blocks, and those kind of blocks play a kind of song. I mean, a kind of tune, like for example,
yes,
a kick, a snare, a bass, a vocal.
Okay.
And that's how you kind of make it. It's like tetris, yeah. But I don't know how to explain it differently.
And each one of those is a stem. So the vocals are stem, the kick is
yes,
stem,
the
snare is a stem. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So and the stems, yeah, okay. I'm probably too familiar, but this, you get the stems, so all the different parts of the track. Of course, if you do a remix, you probably get only the stem of the vocal, so the vocal stems. So it's just like 3 minutes of a girl who's singing. That's it. Without
yes.
the bass, without the kick,
yeah,
without anything. So system.
Okay.
And yeah, and depends on the collaboration. Most of the time they just send a vocal part, like, or if it's a remix, they will send you the like a melody that's very typical to that song. They will send the melody stem and the vocal stem.
Now, I know if I had to ask you this question in a couple of days or 2 hours, I know your answer will be different every time, and I know it's relevant to this situation and in this moment we're discussing. But your bucket list of five artists that you'd like to collaborate with, whether other DJs or other singers that you have yet to collaborate with that you'd like to, who would those be?
Well, that's a good question. I would say Martin Garrix for sure, because I like his vibe. I met him a lot of times, a couple of times in Miami and also in Holland. He's a very nice guy. He's super down to earth, and I like his melodies and his way of working in on the track. So that's definitely kind of a person I want to collaborate with. Well, it's a very good question. Like, let's see. Maybe Yugel would be one of the guys that I want to work with. And Hugel, you know Hugel? Yeah, Hugel. I don't know how to pronounce it. He's from France, but he lives in Miami right now.
I think,
in LA.
I think so, yes. Yeah.
Other than that, there are many, many artists that I've.
Okay.
It's not like it's popping up. Like James Hype. James Hype is definitely one of the guys that I want to collaborate with. I love his style. He's very, very work driven. He's. He may always make something unique, and that's what I definitely like. And then Fisher
okay.
is so this kind of vibe. This where I'm currently at, and yeah, maybe the last one because I said like maybe Diplo would be
okay. So let's put it out there that all of this will happen in the next short while. So
yes,
leading to that, what's happening? What's happening in the next few months, next year? What is in the pipeline?
Well, what is in the pipeline? 100% the song with Luciana that I already said. It's called Cannibal. It's actually done. We're just waiting for paperwork, but the paperwork is always like a mess. So I think it will be like, let's June, July, something like that. That will be Cannibal. Then I have Mueve Este Booty with two guys from Mexico. That will be out on in June. What else? Wait, I need to check my release schedule. I have also a collaboration, but it's not 100% confirmed, but it's with a big artist from Romania. I cannot say the name. And because I was in Mexico, so I made a lot of collaborations with the guys from there. So I have like four or five tracks that are, no, six tracks are pending, and three tracks are fully done. So that have been done in the last 3 months. So I also like a very nice collaboration with the guy from Madrid, Jose de Mara. That's also upcoming. There's a lot of things. A lot of music in the pipeline. A lot. I think the most that been on my plate. And I've been, of course, last year I didn't release anything because I just want to have this full plate of music, like a full plate of tracks ready to release. And just I want to like slowly release every track on a different labels, just or maybe like on one big label, just depending on the interest of the labels. Yeah. It all depends on that. So, okay. But I think it's now's the time to release like slowly all my tracks. Yeah.
So when you're doing your DJ set, is it a combination of your originals, remixes, and then just tracks that are out at the moment? Is it a combination of those three different elements?
In general, yes. But I love to work with, for me, music is energy and emotion. And I find it very special to play with that. So the first thing, I also want to bring the people that they're 1 hour, maybe 1 hour, 30 minutes, depending on the set time, in front of me. And I just want to give them an experience, not like just like, okay, I'm playing all the top 100 tracks of the moment. And that's it. I just want to give them like a journey. And so that's why I mostly start with something recognizable and then move on to like new tracks that are currently out, but also my own tracks, my own remixes. And of course, yeah, the songs from my end that I feel like they need to know.
How long does it take you to prepare for that? Or is it a process of you, okay, I've got this body of work and I'm going to feel the energy of the room and allow it to sort of ebb and flow based on that energy?
Well, believe it or not, I never ever prepared a full set, never. Because I feel like the fun of DJing is being there and just read the crowd. The only thing that I do is select the first song. Or maybe this first and the second one.
Okay.
And probably I select the first one, just the first one to like an intro. Which intro I will gonna use, because I have some intros prepared in the year. So it depends on which intro I choose and direction on the intro. If I will change the music or everything will flow afterwards.
Obviously, you've DJed and performed at festivals, at clubs. Sort of headlining your own nights, as you said, at that Belgium club. You bring the same energy into each of those different types of performances. But what is the difference for you of those? Or it's just the same?
No, it's not the same. It's 100% different. So okay. in a club, so depend on the club. If the club is big, the energy needs to be more clubby, like tech house, that kind of vibe, or with a like a vocal twist. That's for me my type of energy that I would play in a club. But if it's smaller, for example, more intimate, I would play more. And I know that the crowd is more intimate, so which is mean that they know house, like they know some tracks, old tracks, house music tracks. So I'll play more deep, more a little bit more techie, more deep house, like old songs, and then when the vibe is right, it just changed. Like, for example, a festival, I would play more hard, like more, it's a little bit more harder than in a club.
Okay.
You just need to change the vibe because, of course, nobody, it's not a club. You're on a festival. People
Yes.
want to, yeah, just to move and but it's a little bit, it's not like EDM, like back in the days. It's just more, it's more rough, more edgier
Yes.
House that I would play on a festival than in a club. So 100% different.
What is the difference between house, EDM, and techno?
Well, right now EDM for me, like electronic dance music, of course, is like the name that covers everything, like house,
Okay.
techno. That's in general how
Yes.
it's named. But of course, it has its own name, EDM, like big room EDM. So that people have a connection with EDM as big room EDM, which is like the Dimitri Vegas Mike style, W&W, this kind of vibe. Well, that's not the songs that I play. I play more like commercial tech house. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
It's like tech house with a vocal that is recognizable, but like very, very like techy bass line.
So another game I'm going to lean to you. I love this game. And again, I know this answer will be different every time I ask you this question, but there are millions of them. And I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five songs by other artists, once we finish this conversation, what would those five songs be and by whom?
There's one song that I would definitely play because I love the song. It's Adam K and Soa remix of "I Need to Feel Loved" from Reflect and Bassline. That one is my all time favorite because there's so much emotion and so much. That's definitely one. Children from Robert Miles. That's one. That's one I definitely. Top of mind. It's a very good question. Those are. Let me see. Something from James Hype that would be, well, I like drums. The last track of drums with from him. I don't know which he's collaborating with. Justin Timberlake has a little vocal in that. What else? What else? What else?
Two more. Just two more.
The song of Patadas de Ajodo or something like that from Hugo, that one I like.
Yeah.
That's a new remix. And then maybe, yeah, Kind of Music, Less Good.
Nice mix. Some I need to add to mine, so I'm just definitely going to research them. So, Ken,
yes.
The podcast is listened to throughout the world. So, as a final message, what would you like to say?
To be honest, enjoy life as much as possible. My change of life been so much more fun when I realized that life has so much beautiful things, and I know that music is helping me in generating this kind of energy. But remember that everything in the end, it is a pleasure to be on this planet, and I think everyone should love more and be more loving with each other.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.